It is a truth universally acknowledged that a single woman in possession of a good fortune must be in want of a husband. Which is why, a month later, all the usual suspects were gathered at St. Andrew's Church, Cliveden, for the society wedding of the year. Finally, the Mountie had got her man. The fact that Anushka and Darius would love and cherish till divorce us do part was not in question. Anushka had spent more time choosing her gown than her groom. Her only criterion now, hubby-wise, was that he be aristocratic. Darius's obligatory epiglottal lisp, combined with his invincible repugnance for everything and everybody, indicated that he possessed the perfect upper-class credentials. But the trouble with upper-class wealth is that it doesn't always vouchsafe money. The British landed gentry do have this tendency to leave their fortunes to retirement kennels for hunting canines and cat hostels. Darius came from a long line of dog orphanage donors. Anushka was a woman with money to burn. In Darius, she had met her match. I didn't stop trying to talk her out of the marriage, even in the bridal car. "He just sees you as a meal ticket," I staccatoed as we jounced over the cobbled country lanes. "And believe me, Annie, Darius has made a lifetime reservation at the Ritz."
"How can you talk that way on my wedding day?"
"I so want you to be happy, Annie, but Darius doesn't love you. Of all people, why him?"
"I chose him chiefly on the grounds that he's a male."
"Yeah, with a title. Well, I can think of a few other titles he richly deserves, like freeloading bum." But Anushka had convinced herself it was love. After they'd vowed everlasting devotion in the eyes of the Lord, I watched as she folded back the lace veil to reveal a spectacular barnet of brunette profiteroles, before turning her hopeful face up to him. Darius, with facial expressions by taxidermy, went in for the kiss. Making the face of a child rejecting spinach, he dodged her lips and made minimal contact with her left earlobe. After we'd all been dandruffed in confetti and posed for photographs on the stone steps, Darius, silk top hat rakishly askew, approached we bridesmaids with what he thought was a swagger, but merely looked as though his underpants were too tight. Having air-kissed Tara, Tanya, Tressida, Tabitha, and Tessa, it's illegal to be an it girl unless your name starts with a T, he paused before me, marooned as I was in a sea of maroon chiffon.
"Ah, the wedding renegade. I can't believe the church didn't burst into flames as you approached."
"Congratulations," I said to him. "A wealthy wife. Quite a labor-saving device. If I'd been marrying you, I'd have made you sign a prenuptial agreement you could make into a mini-series."
"Anushka Poppet," Darius drawled, beckoning his bride, "has it ever crossed your lovely little mind that your friends resent not being as rich as you? Perhaps it's time you inquired some new chums in a higher earning bracket."
He flicked the swallow tails of his grey morning coat and departed with that mincing waddle. Annie, or rather Lady Anushka Gore, tethered to his arm, smiled helplessly over her shoulder.